Welcome to Comedians with Ghost Stories. I'm your host, writer and comedian Emily Winter, and tomorrow is my favorite day of the year. It is One-Liner Madness in New York at the Bell House in Gowanus, Brooklyn. It is Thursday, March 23rd. Doors are at 7:30. Show is at 8. All proceeds go to Shelter Chic Animal Rescue. I am hosting the show. It is 64 comedians in a March Madness-style single elimination one-liner joke tournament. My co-producer, Larry Mancini, and I started this show, I don't know, maybe like 8 years ago, and we've taken it all over the country, and I love doing it in Brooklyn where it began, and I would love, love, love to sell out so we can make a ton of money for the animals, and it's just so, so, so fun. It's comedy prom. It's wonderful for everyone watching, because if there's a comic you don't like, you can just not applaud for them, and then they get eliminated right away, and hopefully your favorite comic wins the whole thing. There's a trophy, there's a cash prize for the winner, so there are stakes for the comics, but also we're there to raise a lot of money and just have a blast. So anyway, please get a ticket. TheBellHouseNY.com is where you can get a ticket, and I recommend getting a ticket ahead of time. One, because I will get updates tomorrow morning on how many tickets we've sold, and I would love for it to be close to sold out. It makes me less worried as the event approaches minute by minute. And then two, just in case it does sell out, then you're not stuck in Gowanus at the door not being let in. So that would be awesome if you could do that. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you for supporting live comedy. And I hope you enjoy this amazing episode. And I hope to see you at One Liner Madness. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It's tomorrow. Today on the podcast, I am super excited to have Albuquerque's funniest comedian. He was voted the funniest comedian in Albuquerque last year. Welcome, Zach Abeda.
Hey, so much for having me. It was great meeting you here in town, and you do a great job with the one-liner contest. I can't wait to do that again. That was so much fun. So.
Oh my gosh, thank you. And you were just, so you have ghost stories, one, but two, you were just telling me you had the craziest 2022 that I've heard of.
When winning that award last year was like such a big deal with the year I had, because in April, like I said, in April, we usually do a monthly roast battle. And that month, instead of just doing our regular ones, my friends wanted to do a roast battle of me to celebrate me doing 5 years of comedy here in our state. I had signed, like I said, with a contract with an agent. I had signed a contract with a big theater here in town to do comedy that just reopened. So I'd be the first local comedian ever to do comedy at this theater. And I quit my day job to do comedy full time, like all in this like 1 week span. So my friends decided to roast me instead of just doing the roast battles. And it was like beautiful. We sold it out. There was over 250 people there.
Amazing.
And then 2 hours later after the show, I was, celebrating with my friends. We were kind of hanging out in my loft, and, I got my little dogs right here.
They're so cute.
And my little guy's all rolled over there. So we live in this loft downtown, so I took him out to use the restroom. A friend was leaving, and when I was doing that, I got shot in the stomach by a random car of young hoods, dude. That's the only way to describe it. It wasn't like, wasn't a mugging or anything, but it was very random, wrong place, wrong time kind of thing. So my friends luckily were in the loft. They got me to the hospital. I spent 4 days in the hospital. I had to have surgery. Bullet hit me in the stomach. It might even look pretty good on camera here.
Oh my God, you got a serious, holy shit, you have a scar all the way from like your chest down past your belly button.
So it hit me like in the stomach. So I had to have surgery, hit my major blood, my liver, major blood vessel, kidney, they had to repair a hernia. So I always say in Albuquerque, if you get three surgeries, you get the fourth for free. I spent 4 days in the hospital, and then 2 hours after I got out of the hospital, I went and did comedy. Because it's not only my favorite thing in the world, I just felt like so much was taken from me so quickly. I had to know that I still had that. Like, it was such, I just had to get a laugh. I had to talk into like a mic. I had to see my friends. Like, I had to have some normalcy after all that.
Right.
And then 9 days later, I headlined a comedy festival out of state. And I still had the staples in, like, band, like, my dad had to come with me to the comedy festival so he could change the packing in my gunshot wounds in between shows.
Oh my gosh.
But I love doing this more than anything, and I love telling jokes more than anything. And it was my first headlining set ever at a comedy festival. And I just didn't want, like I said, I had so much taken from me that I just wanted to still be able to do that. And I worked, tremendously hard last year. I toured more than ever. I produced shows at that theater that I had mentioned where I got the contract, which is now at Dry Heat Comedy Club, which I love. And
That's awesome.
yeah, so, and then at the end of the year, I, didn't even know it's, a voted thing. This magazine puts out a best of list of restaurants, entertainment venues, artists, all these things. And I was named best comedian in the city. And it just kind of blew me away with that crazy year. And so, and right now I've just kind of been working as hard as possible. Things have just been lining up. I've been touring all over the state. I have 8 shows in Colorado next month. I just booked a train tour, so I'll be out in LA soon.
Oh, awesome.
They're gonna fly me out there, and we're gonna do like shows in LA, and then like take trains like all throughout the Southwest and do shows in the cities. So I'm excited to see where this goes, and I'm just like really enjoying the ride.
Oh my gosh, that is an incredible story. Okay, here's a question. I feel
Yes.
like it's an insensitive question to
Oh
ask, but
no.
I have to
Oh
know
no, yeah, give like all the questions.
when you got shot, what did your you had two dogs that you were walking. What did your dogs do?
Well, like I said, luckily I was with a friend that, so my friend grabbed my dogs and kind of helped me to the car, and it was just all adrenaline. Like,
Yeah.
it's crazy to say I have 5 minutes of like real clarity. Like, I didn't even, I just looked at my, like, the car did it, shut the door, drove off, and I just looked at my friend. I was like, "You got to take me to the hospital right now." And I
Yeah.
remember like almost that calm. So we got to go to the hospital right now.
Did you think
And
you were gonna die?
not till. Those kind of thoughts really didn't come into like when I did ask the doctor. So like they wheeled me in, and it was like a full like episode of ER. Like they wheeled me into this room. There was 10 plus people in it. They let my closest comedy friend, this is my buddy Maverick McWilliams, amazing comedian, out in Austin right now. They let my closest friend in there with me. And I remember asking him if I was gonna die. And the doctors, he's like, "No, you're not, buddy, you're good." And the doctors told me I was stable, but that I would have to go into surgery immediately. So that's when I was like, okay, well, something's up, right? Like, if I have to go into surgery immediately, and they actually had to transfer me hospitals. So once they say they wheeled me out of this hospital, and in the parking lot were like 10 of my comedian friends, and I had just, like I said, I had just booked that contract with that Lobo Theater, and I remember it was the next month of the first show, and they're wheeling me out to the ambulance, and I see all my friends, and I was like, "Don't worry, guys. We're still going to do the show at Lobo Theater, May 28th. Come see us." I'm like doing promo, getting
Yeah.
wheeled hospital to hospital.
You're
And
like plugging your shows.
yeah, like follow my, telling the like nurse, like, "Follow my Instagram, Zach Comedic Comedy. It's good content. Good." Like,
Signing autographs in blood. Yeah, that's
exactly.
amazing. Holy
I want to.
cow. Well, I got chills on this, and we haven't even talked about ghosts yet.
Exactly. Yeah, we will. Yeah. So, and now I do talk about it on stage. It's a process, part of the healing process for me as well. And even last night, like, I can't tell you how many times I'll tell the joke and show the scar like that. And even last night, I was in, TRC, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, and this big, like, southern, rural, like, Carhartt, dude comes up to me, and he's all, "How many staples you got?" And I was like, "I had 22." And then he pulled up his shirt, and he had like this scar, and he showed me where he got shot. And I was go, "Bullet Brothers." Like, so yeah, so it's a very, and we talk about the hardest stuff we went through in comedy, and I think that's like the strength of the comedian, is if we could talk about our hardest traumas and our hardest things that we went through in life and make them funny and connect to people through that, then I think that shows our strength as writers and comedians and in general. So yeah,
That
well, like,
is absolutely true and beautiful.
yes, well, thank you for letting me share that wild story with you. So,
Yeah. Oh my gosh, crazy. Okay, let's talk about your ghost stories. I'm
so
so excited. Do they take place in Albuquerque too?
it is actually one in Albuquerque, and one actually was very close to the town I mentioned, TRC, New Mexico. Right next to it is the biggest lake in New Mexico called Elephant Butte, and I saw some weird stuff there in college. But that's the second story. So we'll start with the first one, because I've always kind of believed in paranormal stuff. Like, I've had weird paranormal stuff as a kid. I was born in Santa Fe, but when I was about 2 years old, me, my mom, and my older brother, who's 10 years older than me, we all moved to Albuquerque. My mom got a townhouse, like a townhouse apartment. I remember my mom, we were tight on money. We were so tight that she even rented out the master bedroom to like a friend or a coworker. So we'd have like a random lady living with us or like a friend of hers.
Oh my
And I was
gosh.
like, ooh, so I shared a room with my mom. My brother was, 12, 13 at the time. So he had his own bedroom. And there was just weird stuff in this apartment, like all the time. And I remember, a lot of it is them telling me the stories now, but I vaguely remember still one thing as a kid, because we lived there till I was about six. And my brother would say he would go, to the bathroom at night and feel someone like brush up against him in the hallway and no one's there. You could clearly, the one thing I remember is like you could clearly hear like footsteps. It was, a townhouse. So it was like living area on the bottom, bedrooms on the top. And I'm like, one memory I just have is my mom, it was just me, my brother, roommate was gone. And they go, and like they're like, everyone, they're quiet. And they're like, you hear that? And you could just clearly hear footsteps in what was our bedroom above their ours. So just, and I'm
Oh
like
my
pounding,
God.
like, how we have neighbors, and we know what it sounds like when we're walking around upstairs. So it distinctly, someone was up there. My mom would say that she would wake up and like she, you fold a pile of laundry and stuff would be moved or missing. A lot of times she said it was like my clothes would be missing. And the weirdest thing is that they said that at the top of the staircase that you could see the apparition and an outline of a lady, like a lady in a dress, but that she
Oh.
would never, he said that she would never come down the stairs, that you would just see her like at the top of the stairs. And that's where like all the activity was up there. And
So everybody saw this, like in your house, and nobody got super freaked
they
out.
so yeah, it was even to the point where my mom's longest roommate at the time was a friend of her, a coworker who was a Navajo woman, and they actually even had a medicine man from their tribe come and do like a blessing on the apartment. And I don't remember if it really worked or not, to be honest with you, but I remember my mom saying like the most real thing that they saw is like, everybody has like a stack of bills and, your stuff, kind of papers on the desk kind of thing. And she said that one day it just like picked up and then levitated across the room and like stood there for a second and just went. And I was,
So the mail went everywhere. So it floated across,
yeah,
stayed put for a second, and then just flew all over the place.
exactly. Yeah.
That's
So
insane. Was your mom totally freaked out?
yeah, of course. I mean, it was being a single mom with a teenager and a kid and a, roommate that's, there or not, usually probably mostly at their boyfriends or something like that. So yeah, I remember she really not knowing how to handle it and stuff like that. And we're, we grow up Hispanic, Catholic, not like extremely to the point where we're like you're doing, confession, telling them about the ghost or anything, but we're like, yo, me and this ghost got real this weekend. But I just remember it was like something that we would talk about. I remember it was something we talked about even more after we moved out of that apartment. You know what I mean? And as I got older, like that townhouse is still there. That strip of townhomes is still there. And there's been so many times where I've like, I'd say at least three or four times that I got older that I drove just to see it. And I've like parked outside, and I get the urge so bad to go ask, like, hey, does you guys ever feel any weird stuff? So it's kind of weird. Some guy just pop in and be like, you weird shit happened here.
I
It is
used
that.
to live here and it's haunted, just
Yeah.
so you know.
Yeah. So, but I've also, I'll be honest, the only reason I haven't, and I know this sounds a little wild, is like I'm afraid that if I that door opens, I'm allowing that energy back, like to attach to me possibly. Because like my mom said, it felt like she felt like it was a woman that maybe lost a child or something because of my stuff being missing and moved around and her always like in our room walking around. So I was like, man, I don't want to take another person on tour with me. I can only afford so much.
So this woman wasn't like particularly harmful, but you guys did get a vibe that there was a bit of sadness. Like this was not a very happy ghost.
That's definitely what it felt like some kind of mournings. That's something she couldn't like leave for. And I don't think it was maybe her. I think she was sticking around for something else, looking for something else that she lost, possibly.
Do you think that your mom didn't talk about it too much when you guys were in there because she wanted to protect you from it and then like started talking about it more when you left?
I think that's like very possible. I think it's maybe a little bit weirder to like talk about it when the energy's around, because then you're kind of another again inviting it in. And it's just, so weird that, like I said, a woman spirit that possibly lost a child, because here in New Mexico, our most famous urban legend, I don't even know if this rings out to where you're at, California. There was a movie made about it a few years ago. It's called the La Llorona. I don't know if
Okay.
you've La Llorona is a story that they used to tell us as kids, and we thought it was a story just to keep us out of like ditches and like stuff like that, but they called it also the Ditch Witch is like her nickname. But basically, it's a story of this woman who grew up in hundreds like a years in New Mexico, and she found her husband cheating on her, so she went deranged and she drowned her two kids in the river, and now on ditches and rivers crying and looking for her children. So that was like,
I think I did see this movie. I think I saw,
it
yes.
kind of weird, 'cause it's kind of in that Conjuring universe where like the nun and those, like, so it's kind of,
Yeah.
yeah. But that's like, that was, and it was funny because they would always tell us as a kid, like, that's the ditch right there. That's where it happened. So we always thought it was like just a story. But when you feel that kind of energy, you're like, okay, well, maybe there's more to like some of these urban legends. And, they call New
Yeah.
Land of Enchantment, not because it's just beautiful here, because we have so much like spiritual enchantment. And I think a lot
Okay.
of people don't think about it like that as well. It's a very enchanted lands. And so that was when I was young. And then the one thing that I definitely saw, I was in college, so it was probably the weirdest thing I've had. I was down near the town called TRC, which is a lake town next to the biggest lake in New Mexico called Elephant Butte.
Okay, wait, can I stop you for one second just to ask
Of
you
course.
about this town? It's called
Yes, talk
Truth
about it.
or
Yes, this is a real place. We just call it TRC, but it's Truth or Consequences. They
That's
actually cheat.
wild.
So this whole, yes, wild. And this town, like, actually is a wild history. So they got that name because in the 1950s, a game show dared them to change their name. And I think that was the name of the game show.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
That's
imagine
so.
America calling Albuquerque and like, can you give me American Idol, American Albuquerque? So that's basically what it was, and they took the dare. And so ever since then, they've been Truth or Consequences. So that's how they like got that wild name. And you hear a lot of stuff like they have the biggest lake, so you'll be like, oh, there's their bodies in the lake, and people can be like, oh, there's catfish so big they eat men, like weird urban legends like that. But in the 1990s, there was actually one of, I just found out and listened to the story on the way home from this town yesterday, but they had a serial killer called the Toy Box Killer. And this was one of the craziest things I ever heard. This guy was a park ranger who worked in that lake area, and his wife and even his daughter at a point, and maybe even friends, would help him get like drifters and like adult workers and drug addicts and like kind of people, people that, kind of drifting by throughout these small towns. And he made this soundproof room called the Toy Box that was a
Oh.
basically torture room. You got to look at it as, like, if you're in true crime, another, like, it's a nut story. It's he had torture device. It was like a porn weird room, torture devices, like a sex hell, basically. And he would take, and the weirdest part is, he one of these women escaped one time. He would drug him, and that's how he got caught, as a woman escaped and then told him what happened, and the cops went and found him and found his like escaping. He this lady like wounded the wife that would help him, so the lady like went to the hospital. So it was like they basically found them this way, but they never found any of this guy's bodies. So he confessed to like all these murders, but not one body was ever found. So that's why they think there's a lot of bodies in this lake. They never searched the lake for all these like really weird reasons, to where like it was too expensive to drain the whole lake. It was there was like very weird reasons why they didn't live. So they basically never searched this lake for the bodies.
This is
I mean,
terrifying. Oh
funny.
my God.
And it's all surrounded by desert. So it's like, this is all places where easily bodies could just be anywhere. So it's also a weird thing, like, and we're probably sure he killed people. The evidence is insurmountable, but at the same time, no bodies were ever found. So it's like, is this guy just maybe a weird sex trafficking kind of freaky dude that maybe talked up these murders for clout? Probably not. He probably definitely did kill these people, but you
Oh
never
my
know.
gosh, that's I hate, oh gosh, I hate it when it's
And this
like There's still things that need to be discovered, and oh my gosh, it's so
Oh, and one of
scary.
the worst part about it is the dude died before he was fully sentenced. So never really like paid the grunt of his crimes. So this little lake town, very small, only really thrives in the summer when tourism kind of happens. Like I said, we did a show there last night, and it was in a they had it at a bar that was like this bar bowling alley place that they're like renovating, and it was kind of cool. It got so much interest that they had to move it from the side bar where they were gonna have us into the bowling alley, and we ended up performing last night like on the lanes
Oh my
for the
God.
bowling alley. I'll
That's
send you a
really fun.
play. That was the first, the stuff we deal with in comedy. You never are surprised anymore. But it was packed. Over 100 people came out in this tiny little town, filled up this bowling alley, and we had a blast. Like,
That's
so the
awesome.
so accommodating. But getting back to, so that's a little bit of history of this town. And this is the biggest lake we have is Elephant Butte. College kids, just summertime. That's the one lake. We probably have like three or four lakes here in New Mexico that get a lot of action, but that's the biggest one. And I remember in college, that was like the spot for years because a close buddy, his parents actually owned a lake house, and it was pretty nice. So we would go out there. I mean, we'd have like 10 college friends or so, and just running amok, playing beer pong, doing all the dumb stuff. And one night, I remember it was probably like the second night there, and like I said, maybe like 8 to 10 of us, couple, a few couples, just a couple buddies at the same time. And I remember we were all kind of just hanging out at the lake house drinking, and there's music on, people are mingling, and out of nowhere we heard the loudest three like distinct pounds like on the wall, to the point where everybody stopped. We turned, like everybody was like, "What the fuck was that?" Like we thought, and also we're 18, 19-year-old kids, so we're like afraid of, is it the cops? Are we? But you know what I mean? Like, so we go outside, nothing. But it was like pounds loud enough to stop this whole party over music. And we're just like, all right, we kind of go on with the night. And I remember I'm bunking up in a room with a buddy. So it's like a room with two twin beds, one like along a wall, one along another wall, and like kind of the door. And end of the night, everybody, there's maybe like three people up. I'm like, all right, guys, I'm gonna go pass out. So I go in my room with friends, like super passed out, like out snoring, rolled over. And I'm like, chilling, laying on my phone a little bit. And I'm kind of just like kind of dozing off. And I feel like I see someone in the room. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I don't say anything because at first I thought it was one of the people there, and they were thought we were asleep. And it looked like they were like looking through our shit. I was like, I'm like, yeah, so it looked like someone was like kind of like looking around, and there were, and I was like, and I could see like the outline of a guy, and I'm like, "Fuck is this guy doing, man?" And I'm looking at him, and then he turns, and this like guy looks at me, and I get like paralyzed, like I just like can't move, and he like, and I'll never forget the waddle, like see like the back of the camera a little bit, so I'll never forget how he like walked up to me. So he's standing in the back of the room, and he like waddles up. And he's like looking at me, and
That's so scary.
he gets to me, and he goes close, and I just remember I reached my hand, and it like went through him, and then more paralyzed because at this point I still thought it was possibly just someone in there, and once I went like that, I was like, and then it like backed up with that same waddle, but it looked at me the whole time, and then it looked, and it leaned, and it looked at my friend, and then it turned and walked into the wall.
Oh my God.
And I was like, and
Nope.
I don't know why I was so paralyzed with fear. I just remember like falling, like I just woke up, like remember waking up the next morning, and I totally couldn't, wasn't a dream. Like I was just, I remember everything about it, like exactly what I told you. And this had to have been, I'm 33 now, so this had to have been 13, 14 years ago.
Oh my
And
gosh. So when he was waddling toward you, and I wish that people could see this creepy walk that you just did with your head tilted. So what was he old? Was he young? Do you remember
It
any of
looked
his
like
like facial
almost,
expression?
it reminded me a lot of my friend Derek that lived there. It looked like a younger guy, possibly. And like I said, this lake is known for so many drownings, and so the mysterious people or dumped bodies, and all, it has so much of those urban legends to it. And I just remember waking up, and the only other weird thing is when I woke up in the morning, my friends were like, "Why'd you lock us out last night?" And I was like, "What?" They're like, "You went to bed, and then we tried to get in, all the doors were locked. Like, we had to climb through the kitchen window."
And you're like, I did not do that.
Yeah, in the doors and stuff. I would have locked the doors, and they're like, "I don't know. We thought you like locked us out. I don't know." And I was like, then I told them what I saw, and then we just like talked about the 3 pounds we heard earlier that night on the wall, and then like I said, just being back in that same town just last night to do a show, and listening to the serial killer story of the toy box killer, driving home, we definitely. Did not fall asleep at all. We were on the edge of our seats, and I even saw a car on the side of the road, and poor guy, but it was a car, it was a guy on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere. And I remember it'd be like, "Nope, we're not stopping. I'm sorry if you need help. We are too scared. Might kill us."
So, did you feel like this presence that you saw, this dude that you saw, was he more curious or like, I'm gonna kill you?
Even like I said, the first thing, seeing him looking like he was looking through our stuff, which, yeah, so very curious. Like, who knows what that spirit could have been? Maybe it was someone that was rummaging through someone's campsite one time and came across the wrong person's stuff and didn't ever leave. I don't know. And I would love to talk to the parents that my friend's parents that own this lake house, because they still own it out there. And they were actually the ones that kind of helped us middleman and set up the show with this venue last night. So they want to take us back out there in 3 months, and I might have to do some ghost hunting out there for sure.
You should do it. You should do it. I know it's dangerous, but you should totally do it and then report back. If anything happens, let me
I
know.
never got to ask the parents. I wanted to ask them if they've ever felt anything weird in that lake house, and what a strange like area property, and like you. Think, I don't know, you think of older properties to be haunted and like, a creepy old house, Victorian house or something, or the house on the hill. But like you think of lakes as being fun, getaway, vacation, no worries kind of place. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
but
So
they're
to end,
also a place to dump bodies. Yay!
I know. So
Yeah,
especially if you live in a giant desert and there's only a few bodies of water to put bodies in. So exactly.
I love the story. Zach, tell everybody where they can find you on the
Oh,
internet
gosh.
and find your shows and find
Yes.
everything about you.
So find me on Instagram, Zach Abeda Comedy. That's like my main social media platform. I kind of do everything mostly from my Instagram. So just Zach Abeda Comedy. I got stuff going on all throughout the spring. I already booked March. I'm headlining a theater here in Albuquerque called the Guild Theater March 11th. I have my two shows at Dry Heat Comedy Club March 25th. I am going to be in Colorado March 28th through April 2nd. I have 8 shows between the Denver and Fort Collins area. So if you're in Colorado, catch me there. And then I just booked a train tour April 29th through May 2nd. So I will be in LA, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, and a bunch of different cities. So check me out.
That is wonderful. Thank
Yes.
you so much. Bye, Zach. Thank you for listening to Comedians with Ghost Stories. Please, if you're in the New York area, go to thebellhouseny.com to grab a ticket for One Liner Madness, and I hope to see you Thursday, March 23rd. Thanks so much.